Revelation 6, 1 through 8, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
じゃあ、ヨハネによる黙示録6章1節から8節を日本語で読みます。また私は見た子羊が7つの封印の1つを解いたとき、4つの生き物の1つが雷のような声で来なさいというのを私は聞いた。私は見た、見よ、白い馬であった。それに乗っている者は弓を持っていた。彼は冠を与えられ、勝利の上にさらに勝利を得ようとして出ていった。子羊が第二の封印を解いたとき、私は第二の生き物が来なさいというのを聞いた。すると別の火のように赤い馬が出てきた。これに乗っている者は地上から平和を奪い取ることが許された。人々が互いに殺し合うようになるためであった。また彼に大きな剣が与えられた。子羊が第三の封印を解いたとき、私は第三の生き物が来なさいというのを聞いた。私は見た、見よ、黒い馬であった。これに乗っている者は秤を手に持っていた。すると私は一つの声のようなものが四つの生き物の間でこういうのを聞いた。小麦、一マスは1デナリ、大麦3マスも1デナリ、オリーブ油とブドウ酒に害を与えてはいけない。子羊が第4の封印を解いたとき、私は第4の生き物の声が来なさいというのを聞いた。私は見た、身を青ざめた馬であった。これに乗っている者の名は死といい、その後にはハデスが付き従った。彼らに地上の4分の1を剣と飢饉と死病と地上の獣によって殺す権威が与えられた。
Can't hit the lights. Oh, one of the lights, maybe. Yeah, that's fine, I think. That's good?
Yep, that's better.
That's fine. Thanks. How's everyone doing? Good, good. You guys, I'm doing okay. Well, I'll be leaving for Minnesota this Friday, and then coming back on Friday, the following Friday. So I won't be here next Sunday. Pray for us. Pray we don't get snowed in. pray we don't freeze to death. My wife's side of the family lives in Minnesota, so we're going to go visit them for the holidays. But are you guys ready for the holidays? You know, Thanksgiving is going to come and go, and then it's going to be Christmas, right? And then New Year's and 2014. Wow. Wow. Well, as we get to the end of this year, I want to talk a little bit about the end of the world, I guess. You know, there's a lot of movies out there, right? If you guys like movies, watch movies. There's a lot of movies that talk about the end of the world. And I'm sure you've seen a couple of them, or heard of them at least. I don't know, do you guys have a favorite end of the world movie? No? Like a zombie apocalypse. You guys like World War Z? Have you seen that one? You guys are a little older, some of you, so maybe The War of the Worlds. You guys remember that one, War of the Worlds? Yeah. You know, so someone who's my age, maybe around in the 30s, we remember The Matrix or Terminator, and that was machine turning against humans and trying to eliminate human beings. We see all of these things. The latest one I watched was with my wife, and it's called Pacific Rim. And I don't want to give away any of the story, but I don't know if any of you guys are interested in that movie. But it's about monsters, kaiju. They call it kaiju, and that's Japanese for monsters. And they come and they start destroying, try to destroy the world. With all of these things out there, I thought it'd probably be wise if we know what the Bible says about the end of the world. Amen? Especially when this revelation is given to John to tell the church about the last days or the last hours. And so John has these revelations, and throughout Scripture, even in the Old Testament, even thousands of years before we have the church, perhaps, thousands of years, there are prophecies of the end. And we need to be ready. Although it may not come in our lifetime, the Bible always talks about the end and how we should be ready for the end. Now, the picture that was up before was about Noah. This is Noah's Ark. This is actually a new film that's coming out. And Noah is going to be played by Russell Crowe. I don't know if you saw the trailer. Russell Crowe, he played Maximus in Gladiators. He played the boxer in Cinderella Man. He's a really manly kind of man. And the movie, the trailer looks very powerful. And so I hope if you guys like movies, that you guys get a chance to watch this one. But Jesus says something interesting. He says in Matthew 24:37, and let me just turn there real quick and read that for you. But Matthew 24:37, where Jesus talks about the last days. Is this too loud? For you, huh? No? A little bit, okay. I'll talk quiet.
Yeah,
24. 37. Check. How we doing now? So in Matthew 24:37, he says this. We'll start from 36. 24:36. Jesus says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." So we don't know. If you ever hear anyone say 2014 is the end of the world, that person does not know. In fact, somebody's going to get it right one of these days, but it's just going to be because they're lucky. Okay? Because it says nobody knows. So nobody knows. But he gives us some clues. Jesus says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Let me pray real quick. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Although we do not know when you will return, Lord, help us, Lord, to be ready. Help us to be watchful, vigilant, and diligent in building for eternity. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Jesus says, no one will know, but be watchful. In other places, he says, you know, we should recognize the signs of the times. And so as a church, although we don't know the exact time or hour, we should know what to look for, especially if the Bible talks about it. So that's what I want to do today. I want us to be like Noah and build in a way to prepare for the end. You guys heard, I'm sure if you've gone to church long enough, you hear sermons on Noah, how Noah probably had to endure maybe years and years of ridicule, right? Building this huge boat in the middle of the desert or in the middle of nowhere. No water. I don't think they've seen rain at least up to that magnitude, to that point. And so people were probably saying, what are you doing, Noah? Why are you wasting your life building that boat? You must be absolutely crazy. As Christians, as we build for eternity, people may say the same thing to you. What are you doing with your life? Why aren't you living your life the way you want to live it? Why do you go to church Sundays? Why do you stay faithful to your wife, to your husband? Why don't you do what the rest of the world does? You know, the world will ridicule you if you live differently. And as Christians, the closer it gets to the end, and I'm not saying we're at the end, but the closer it gets to the end, the greater the divide will be between people of the light and people of the darkness. And we'll see that later on in this message. And people will wonder why you live the way you live. But as Noah was faithful to what he was called to, he was ready when the floods came. Now, are you ready when the floods come? Now, all of us will die physically, unless you're raptured or whatever. And so are you ready for that? And if we don't die and we get to the end, are you ready for that? And so today, hopefully, we could have an eternal perspective and not just a temporary perspective. But here's what to look for. It says in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, I looked, and this is John saying, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. This is Revelation 6:2, and many people think that this may be Jesus, because Jesus also rides a white horse. Jesus also has a crown, and some say because of these features that this could be Jesus. But remember, it's Jesus opening the seals. So it can't be Jesus opening the seals as in Jesus coming out in a horse. Now the reason why he's on a white horse and he has a crown and he looks like Jesus is because I believe the rider is the Antichrist. You know, you guys heard that term before? Nobody. Yeah, okay, good. I was hoping for a yes or amen, something. Something. Come on, help me out here. Alright. So you guys have... Sorry. Maybe that was too easy of a question. Okay. But you guys have heard of the Antichrist. Yes, I guess it does sound like a rhetorical question. Alright. So the Antichrist, the thing about the Antichrist is he's not the exact opposite of Jesus. And so when we look for the Antichrist, it's not going to be someone that is just completely evil. But it will be disguised as good. In fact, in many ways, he'll look like Jesus. The term Antichrist is simply somebody to take the place of Jesus. Somebody who wants to take the place of Jesus. And I guess he will be one that would want to take the place of a savior. And the world will need saving, and this man will be a figure that will save the world. Now in 1 John 2:18 it says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." Many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know it's the last hour. This sign will be the most, probably the most difficult sign to discern, is the revealing of the Antichrist. But that is the beginning of the end. When the Antichrist is revealed, that is the beginning of the end. Now John is saying there have been quite a few Antichrists already, but there will be one that is the Antichrist. So for example, Adolf Hitler is a good example of someone who is like the Antichrist. And if you know Adolf Hitler's story, he was actually a very powerful leader, right? If he would have died before he went crazy, he probably would have been up there as the top leaders that the world has ever seen. Because he took Germany from a place of poverty, low national self-esteem, drugs, prostitution, and he cleaned that all up and brought Germany to a place of a global powerhouse. Economically, even just, I wouldn't say religiously, but morally, it was a place where people were proud of being German. And the German people loved Hitler for that because he led them to that place. And then after that, he kind of went on the deep end, I guess, and started to reveal his true nature, his true character. And that will be like the Antichrist. He will do many great, wonderful things. But after he gains our trust, his true nature will come out. And just like Adolf Hitler, you know, the church can also be deceived. In Germany, the churches were also deceived. Not all the churches, and one of the most popular one is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right, who stood up against the Nazi movement. But, you know, he will be such a figure, an attractive figure, that people will be deceived. But that is the first sign that the end is coming, is when the Antichrist is revealed. So that's what it says. That's what it means when the first seal is broken and the white horse comes, and it's a horse that looks like, it's a man that looks like Jesus with a crown and is bent on conquest. Notice that this rider has a bow, and Jesus is usually with a sword, right? When you see him in Scripture. The next sign that we should look for is this. "Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given a power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword." You know, as bad as the world seems now, and you just have to look at the evening news, God's grace is still preventing a lot of violence from taking place. His grace. In 2 Thessalonians, this is Paul talking about the end times. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:5, "Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding you back." Let me read that in context. It reads better. If you have your Bibles, let's turn there real quick. It's a smaller book. If you want to try to memorize the order of the Bible, after Corinthians is God eat popcorn, and then it's the Thessalonians. God eats popcorn. God is Galatians, eats is Ephesians, popcorn is Philippians, and then you get into the pop is Philippians, and corn is Colossians, and then you get into the Thessalonians. Yeah. God eat. But this passage, she's like, I don't care about you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says this, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus, our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or word of mouth, or by letters asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. And so even at this early stage, people are saying that Jesus has already returned, but Paul is saying, no, that's not true. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. And that's the Antichrist. Another name for the Antichrist. A man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way, and when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. But if you notice, it says there's somebody holding it back. Did you notice that? That was in verse 7. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one now who holds it back will continue to do so. And so there is grace right now that's holding back the Antichrist spirit. And not just the Antichrist, but that spirit from being released to the entirety of this world. But when that thing that's holding it back, and most say it's the Holy Spirit, when it's removed, I guess there's a saying that all hell will break loose. And this next or second sign is that there will be just a great amount of violence. People killing themselves. Not themselves, but people killing other people. Jesus says, the love of most will grow cold during this time. Now, this, I believe, will do a couple things. One of those, this will empower the Antichrist, who I believe will be both a political and religious leader, to get control. And so what it will look like in the U.S., probably, most logically, is we will go under martial law. And the military will take over. And when that happens, Sergeant Santos, I'm going to go to your house. I'm going to hang out with you. All right? And, you know, that would be probably the best solution. Because it will get so crazy that we need some kind of order. But if politically what's happening is we're going to give control to, if the Antichrist is in place, to the Antichrist. And that's when there will be a lot of trial and tribulation, not just for Christians, but especially Christians. There are some that believe that there will be rapture, but if we we won't talk about that today, but if the believers are here, we could talk about that later. If the believers are here, then it'll be terrible times. it'll be hard to be openly Christian. Right now it's very easy. But there will be a time when it's not easy. And we need to be ready. Are you ready for that? Now, I'm not saying we need to be ready in terms of we need to have ammunition and, you know, weapons and bins of food. If you have all that, that's great. I'm going to come over to your house when it happens, okay? Because we don't have that. But I'm talking about in a more spiritual sense, are you ready? Now, during that time, it will be easier to be ready, right? Because your life will be at stake. And when your life is at stake, it's easier to have an eternal perspective. Right now, for most of us, we're probably thinking, what am I going to do in 5 years, 10 years? What am I going to do 2014? You know, it's not a big deal. So to be ready eternally is not in perspective. It doesn't matter. I have time to get ready, most of us think. But sometimes we're not guaranteed anything in this life. So my point in sharing about the signs, but more importantly, is be ready at any time. Be ready. I like watching boxing. Last night I watched boxing with the Lewis family, but before that in the afternoon, NBC was showing a fight, and it was a title fight. And the champion, I forgot what their names are, but the champion was ready to fight this one fighter, and the one fighter got sick, and so he couldn't fight. And so they asked another guy to come in and fight. 3 days' notice. And he said, I'm ready. And he went in there and knocked the champ out. I'm just kidding. He did. He lost to the champ. Okay, he lost to the champ. It would have been a great story if he knocked the guy out, and you know that would have made a great sermon illustration. But let me tell you, this guy was ready to fight, and he gave it all he could, and it went the whole 12 rounds. And although he lost the fight in a decision, you could tell he was ready. You never know when you will have that opportunity to prove you're ready. You never know when it's going to be. It could be today. Are you ready to come before the King of Kings to show your stuff? But there will be the signs to look out for, the revealing of the Antichrist, mass chaos, a lot more violence, which will probably empower the political system. Not that, you know, there's a lot of, let me tell you, I'm just as curious as the next guy about conspiracy theories, and I could get deep into that just looking it through the internet. I mean, if you like that kind of stuff, great. If you don't, you know, don't get too involved in it. But all I'm saying is this, is don't go around pointing, oh, that's the Antichrist, this is the Antichrist. I don't care how convicted you are about this person or that person. Jesus says no one's going to know. Okay? So, you know, don't point the finger. But be ready. If it happens, point to the Bible and say, Scripture already talks about this. You know, if there is a crazy political leader that starts killing people off, just say, hey, this is prophesied in Scripture. It'll be a great witnessing tool. The next sign John sees is a black horse. And it says, I looked and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hands, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wage, and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and the wine. There will be a time of great famine in the end. But I don't know if this sign is about a great famine, more so a sign of a great divide between the haves and the have-nots. between the rich and the poor. Did you notice what the black horse does? It says he's holding a scale in his hand and is measuring, weighing out what 6 pounds of wheat cost. Now, I don't know if we buy wheat by the pounds anymore, right? We buy rice by the pound, though, right? Right? How much does 6 pounds of rice cost?
Depends on where you buy it.
It probably doesn't cost more than $40, right?
Oh, less.
Less, okay, less. Where do you shop? Okay, so yeah, rice. Just picture in terms of rice, since that's what we buy these days. But 6 pounds of rice, say like 10 pounds of rice, say like 20 pounds of rice for a day's wage. I don't know. Maybe say you get paid $100 a day, or $200 a day. Wow, really? $200? And it says 6 pounds of barley for a day's wage, and barley is food that they give to the animals. And so cost of living is going to go skyrocket. And those, I guess, the one percenters who has money, they could afford this. The rest of us, we're out of luck. And, it says, do not damage the oil and the wine. And I think that's the protection of the haves. Oil and wine usually is about abundance. And so there will be a great difference between the haves and the have-nots. But I don't want you to be afraid of that. Okay? As believers, I don't want you to be afraid of that. I hope this sermon isn't to install fear in you, but more so install perspective. Eternal perspective. Building for eternal things. Because there was a famine in Acts 11:28. We don't have time to go there, but there was a famine that was prophesied by this man. Agabus could be a woman. I think it's a woman. By a woman named Agabus. And they were able to, the church was able to be ready for that kind of thing. And so I believe the church will be ready. Whatever hits, the church, if they're waiting and watching and diligent and vigilant, will be ready. And so we do not have to be afraid of it. But if you see it coming, and your friend asks you, what is going on? I want you to be able to turn to Revelation chapter 6 and say, hey, this has been prophesied over 2,000 years ago. Now you could either call me a religious nut, or you could believe that Jesus is real. And hopefully people will be open to believing that Jesus is real during this time. It says in Acts 11:28, Agabus prophesied of a great famine. Interestingly, the church, their response was, let's take up an offering instead of let's hoard the food we have. And so the church will be ready, and they will be generously ready to help those if we're ready. And we need to be ready. We need to be watchful. We need to be ready. The last one I'm going to talk about of the four horsemen is this. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill. And currently the population of the earth is a little over 7 billion. So what we're looking at of people dying is in the numbers of... Shoot, I did the math before. What is a fourth of 7 billion? Under 2 million, right? 2 billion. A little under 2 billion. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. A little under 2 billion. And so if you see in the evening news, people dying from famine, people dying from... I think it was famine by the sword or by wild animals. In the billions... And your neighbor is like, what is going on? Why are so many people dying? I want you to be able to turn to Revelation chapter 6 and say, hey, look, this has been prophesied already. Great witnessing tool. They'll say, oh, tell me more. And when they say, tell me more, I want you to be able to tell them about Jesus. And simply this. I watched a movie with my friend while in L.A. It is not an end-of-the-world movie I recommend, and so I won't tell you the title of it. But in the movie, they are trying to get to heaven because the rapture took place, and they saw people go to heaven. And so they're trying to get to heaven, and they're like thinking, oh, we just have to be nice to each other to get to heaven. And so they're in the car and they're trying to be nice and it's fake, but they're like, this isn't working. Getting into heaven has nothing to do with being nice to each other. Okay? I'm not saying be mean to each other. That's not what I'm saying. But it has nothing to do with being nice to each other. It has nothing to do with good works. I'm not saying don't do good works. But it has little to do with our righteousness. Getting into heaven, and the mystery of getting into heaven, is surrendering your life to Jesus Christ. And He will transform you from the inside out. And when He changes your inside, you will automatically be nice to each other. You will automatically do good things. And so the Bible says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And so are you ready? The first step of being ready isn't being nice. The first step of being ready is surrendering your life to Jesus. And when you do that, and God transforms you, trials and tribulation, you know, the church may be raptured before this happens, but if we're not, let's be ready to tell people how to be saved. Let's be ready to tell people, hey, this famine, all this death, this antichrist, all this increased violence, well, it's been prophesied, and let me show you. And let me show you how you can escape all of this and enter into eternity ready. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for just your people here today sacrificing their Sunday morning to worship you. We want to be ready, Lord. Whenever you call our name, whenever you bring us up before your throne, we want to be found ready, Lord, prepared. We thank you, Jesus, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, the good works that you have begun in each of us who has put their trust in you. And for those of us here today who have not completely surrender to you, Jesus, I pray you will speak to them, that they would also surrender their lives to you, Lord. We thank you so much, God, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.